Hello again, and welcome to our program. We're in lesson number 41 in our Lessons from the Book of Luke. Stay tuned. Chapter 16, where you're going to look at the information, then the interpretation, and then we'll try to make an application of what is written here so that we might be using it in our daily lives. Information, let's read it. Verse number 1, Luke chapter 16. He said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me my stewardship. I cannot dig, to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And verse 8 and 9, these verses should bother you, and they will if you don't understand them. It says, and the Lord commanded the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now here's the key to understanding. This is a hard to understand portion of scripture. We're going to look at it. But the key here, verse 14 says, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Now he's speaking unto his disciples, it says in verse number 1. He's speaking to his disciples. Now we've explained previously that a disciple simply means learner. And so it could be 11 of the 12. One of those disciples was certainly not a learner. That was Judas Iscariot. It could be other disciples. The Bible says that there was 120 in the upper room in the first beginning of the book of Acts, and later there was 500. It refers to anyone who is a learner. It might even include some people who were in that multitude of people that were there that were unsaved, but they wanted to learn. They wanted to know the truth. So he is speaking to those who want to be learners when he tells his story. He said, now, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Now, someone who was rich, he was very, very wealthy. In those days, they would have looked at Abraham, said he was very wealthy in Ur of the Chaldees, and he was. Or David, he was very wealthy. And both of those, if you study them in the Old Testament, they had stewards. That is, someone who managed everything on behalf of someone else. Well, in this particular situation, the rich man came and accused the steward of wasting his goods. And so in verse number 2, he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee. Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Now, what he's done is he's put him on notice. He said, you better figure it out here. You better show me what's going on, because if the right things are not going on, you're fired. Well, verse 3, the steward is a crook. He knows things are not right. Then we read, the steward said within himself, what shall I do? Now, his future was at stake. He said, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. He knew he was going to get fired. He said, I cannot dig. No, manual labor was not for him. And to beg, I am ashamed. So in verse 4, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I am resolved what to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship, no doubt about it, he's going to be, that they may receive me into their houses. What's he talking about? He's talking about making friends with the ones that are in debt to the one he's supposed to be a steward for. I got to be friends with those guys. So verse 5 says, so he called every one of his Lord's debtors and said unto the first, how much owest thou? Verse 6, he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. No, we would say 100 barrels of oil. In this situation, in order to pay that back, it would be several years of wages. So he said, look, just write half. Then to another, he says in verse 7, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. Now that would be 8 to 10 years of labor in order to pay that. And he said, well, take thy bill and write 80. Now this is how the world operates. And so the Lord, the rich man, this is where it gets a little bit hard to understand here. It says, the rich man commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world in their generation are wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Now, this needs some explanation here. This is not God talking that he says he commended the unjust steward. It's the rich man, the Lord, his Lord, small L on the cap, on the word Lord, not a capital, and his rich man, right, commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. See, this is how the world works. Schemers, do what you have to do to get it done. Then he says, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. They think they're smart. They think the honest man is stupid. They'll do whatever they have to do. He is just telling us here how the children of the world think in their generation. He's not saying we should do this. But here is what he is saying in verse number 9. Keep in mind, he's talking to the learners. There's a lot of people out there that are just listening to a noise. They're just spectators in the crowd. He is talking to those who really want to learn. And he says in verse 9, I say unto you, he said, you need to consider your future. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into the everlasting habitation. Now, what he's saying here is, he said, now consider your future. Now, you want to make friends? What you need to do is and the whole thing is talking about stewardship here, and it's basically talking about stewardship of money. That enters a lot of other areas. We can talk about time, we can talk about talents, we can talk about a lot of things. Basically, it's talking about money here. And he says, take your money, it's called the mammon of unrighteousness. The Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, but it does say the love of money is the root of all evil. And so he's saying, take your money and invest it so that when you fail. Now, what it means here is when something ceases to work. That is at the end of your life, when you're done, when you're all over, that you may be received by these friends that you have made into everlasting habitation. Now, habitation is where people live. We're talking about an everlasting habitation. We're talking about heaven. So what he is saying is, to these Christians who want to learn, to those who are really sincerely wanting to learn, disciples, He's saying you just need to take the funds that God has allotted you, that he has allowed you to have, and invest it in eternal things. Don't be investing it in the temporal things. And when you get to heaven, those funds that have been used to help reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ, those people are going to be in heaven, and you're going to meet with them, and they're going to be glad that you helped them to get there. Now, we've seen all through this portion of Scripture here, as we go back to, say, Luke chapter 12, there's a fellow there, he made a choice. He said, what am I going to do? I got all the goods here. I need to build bigger barns so I can have more stuff for me. And Luke 16 and 9, is the opposite of that. God is saying, make to yourself friends that you'll meet in heaven by the way you have used your money. Basically, in Matthew 6 and 19, he put it this way, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Then he said in verse number 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart is going to follow where you invest your money. So, he's saying, invest in the things that count for eternity, and that is people. People need to hear the message of the Word of God. Our funds should be used for that purpose. And so he says in verse number 12, don't be unfaithful in that which belongs to someone else. You see, it all belongs to God. He said in Haggai 2 and 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29:11, all that is in heaven and in the earth belongs to God. 1 Timothy 6 and 7 put it this way, for we brought nothing into this world, and we will carry nothing out. So he says in verse 13, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. And the Pharisees also, it says, who were covetous, heard these things, and they derided him. That means to express contempt, or to sneer, or to scoff. That same word is used when Jesus was on the cross, and it says the rulers derided him, saying he saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ. Well, we've looked at the information, we've looked at the interpretation. Now let's look at the application. We have a rich man, we have a steward. The rich man, we could represent God. The steward, that represents you. And if you're a Christian, and those of us that are Christians are responsible for managing the affairs of someone else. That is God. So how are we using his time? How are we using the talents that he has given to us? How are we using his money? Everyone, the Bible says in Romans 14 and 12, every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. And so we would do well to ask ourselves the question that the steward asked here, what shall I do? What shall I do with my God-given time and my God-given talents and my God-given finances to reach unsaved people? Now, in verse number 4, he said, I am resolved. What we need to do is to make a resolve to make myself friends by using the funds that God has given me to help win people to the Lord. The result that those friends may receive me unto everlasting habitation. As we said, the only everlasting habitation we can talk about is in heaven. And so he says again, and I want to read this verse, chapter 6 in Matthew, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When Paul wrote the pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 17, he said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. He said in verse 18 that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willingly to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. It is an interesting fact that the average person who reaches the age of 85 years of age has spent over 50 years thinking about money or what money can get for them. And so verse number 1 said, he said this all unto his disciples, to those that really wanted to learn. There was a large group of people there, but there wasn't very many people who really wanted to learn. And in this portion of Scripture, he's teaching them how to handle their funds. Let's learn what we need to learn. We need more than the information and the interpretation. Let's make the application. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?